Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our devotional lessons in the based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this privilege and honor it is to open up thy very words. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God, who is the author of your book, the Bible, the Holy Bible, would be our guide and teacher today and would give us the understanding that we need to understand what you're saying to each and every one of us today. I pray for the saint of God listening today that they would be encouraged, strengthened, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by our lesson. I pray for the saint of God that they would continue also in the things of the faith and not give up, that they'd be encouraged and strengthened today. And Father, I pray for the lost sinner who's never trusted Jesus Christ, shed blood and nothing else, to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, secure them a home in heaven, and keep them out of the fiery pit of hell, Lord. I pray that this would be the day that they would believe from a heart of faith that Jesus Christ, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, and it's only his shed blood and nothing else that saves them. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. Have your will in your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's lesson is God's greatest gift. God's greatest gift. And we find that in John 3:16, probably one of the most familiar verses of Scripture. But let's read it together. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Someone has well defined this verse when they said it was God's love letter to this world. It is one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. Three truths we want to look at. In just a simple way, let us divide this verse into three great thoughts. The first one is the greatest person. The greatest person. For God so loved the world. The word "so" in this verse has been described as the most meaningful and most powerful word in the whole verse. God could have just loved the world with pity, and that would be all. But instead, he so loved it that it moved him to do something. The depth of this great love can only be measured when we see the unworthiness of the objects. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read this: "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Another thought is that God could have so loved the world as to speak through his Son, but he so loved as to give his Son. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 32, we're reminded, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" There are many things we are not sure about in this life, but one thing every one of us can know, and that is God loves us. He has proven that love through his greatest gift. The second thing I want us to see is the greatest plan. The greatest plan. That whosoever believeth in him. The Jews vainly conceded that the Messiah should be sent only in love to their nation. But that was not God's plan. He came to purchase salvation for all men everywhere, to the Jew and Gentile alike. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, we read this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because Jesus died for all, that makes salvation available to all without respect of persons. The whosoever of John 3:16 breaks all social barriers, all financial barriers, all intellectual barriers, and all other barriers that we might think would keep us from being saved. As a sinner, we have nothing to offer God but the sinner that we are. We can't offer money. We can't offer goodness. We can't offer our knowledge. We are helpless and hopeless within ourselves. Thank God, like the songwriter has written, just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. It would do us good to consider what might have happened if God's plan had only included the rich, the intelligent, the good-looking, or those with talent. God's plan included all, without respect of person. The third and last thing I want us to see is the greatest promise. We read the words in John 3:16, should not perish, but have everlasting life. This great promise takes the fear out of living and the sting out of death. The great promise takes the doubt of just a hope and brightens the security of the saint. Whichever way we look at the word everlasting, we cannot change the meaning. This blessed promise doesn't give me any right to commit sin freely or act as a vain person, but it gives me the assurance and makes me want to live right. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. We read this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You take the should not perish and add the everlasting life. And that's all the security the child of God needs to rejoice in the Lord. Before we move on to our next lesson today, I leave you with this thought. Listeners, what does God's greatest gift mean to you? Now we turn our attention to, we go back to John chapter 3. We have looked at verse 16. And we want to look at 16 again, along with verses 17 and 18. So let's turn to John chapter 3 again, Gospel of John chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 16 through 18. Let's read them together. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This lesson is entitled Three Great Truths. Three Great Truths. What it costs to pardon sin, no one can describe. The wealth of Christ's suffering and death to usward and to God is to our finite mind unsearchable. What unpardoned sin will cost the sinner is a terrible and far-reaching question. No sinner can ever be able to pay the price that the holy and eternal Son of God has paid. The third chapter of the Gospel of John reveals some of the most important truths in God's Word. It opens with the coming of Nicodemus to Jesus to inquire about the new birth. Jesus made known to Nicodemus and to us the necessity of the new birth in order for a person to enter the kingdom of God. Then in verses 16, 17, and 18, Jesus reveals three great and most important truths recorded in the Bible. The first one is a great revelation. A great revelation. Verse 16 of the Gospel of John chapter 3, again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here was an ungodly world, and all its wreck and ruin. A world nursed in the lap of the devil. A world so blind that it did not know its maker when he came. In the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 10, we read, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The most amazing truth and the greatest revelation is that God so loved the world that he gave the best he had, that such a world might have the opportunity to escape hell. In this day, we can find so much fault with the church, the preacher, the officers, and the members. But I challenge anyone to find fault with such a great revelation of God's love, God's gift, and God's plan for sinful man. The most familiar, the most comprehensive, the greatest verse in the Bible is John 3:16. And yet, it is the simplest in all the Word of God. The second thing I want us to see is a great redemption. A great redemption. Verse 17 of the Gospel of John chapter 3, we read, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, the world deserved condemnation. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had the authority to condemn the world. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, we're reminded, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." With all power and with all authority to condemn, Jesus declared that he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Paul the Apostle reminds us why Jesus Christ came into this world. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, we read this: "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What a great redemption in that the Son of God would leave heaven, take upon him the form of a servant, be rejected, beaten, and crucified, that we might be saved. When Peter cut off the ear of the high priest's servant in the garden, Jesus rebuked him and said, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Jesus came for a great purpose, and he set his eyes to go to Jerusalem. For only at Calvary's hill could he fulfill that purpose. The third and final thing I want us to see is a great responsibility. A great responsibility. John chapter 3, verse 18, we read, "He believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Here is a portion of God's word that should make every unsaved person in the world take careful note. While God has done a great thing in sending his only begotten Son to die for the great purpose of providing salvation, God has left the matter of accepting him or rejecting him up to each individual. In John chapter 5, verse 40, we read this: "And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life." My dear friend, what a great responsibility we have. If we believe on him, we are not condemned. But if we believe not, we are already condemned. It is one thing to believe about Christ, as many do, but it's another thing to believe on Christ. God has left the decision up to you. He has sent his message to you. The Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, and now it is up to you as to what you will do about it. Amen. I leave this with you before we move on to our next lesson. It's you. You must decide for or against Christ right now. I ask you, what will your decision be? Our next lesson takes us to the Gospel of John chapter 3 in verses 19 to 21. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, we read this: "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This lesson's entitled, A Love That Rejects Jesus. A Love That Rejects Jesus. In chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, we are introduced to three great facts about our Lord, the one altogether lovely and the fairest among 10,000. First of all, we see that Christ eternal. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, we read, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The one we trust and worship is the one who is from everlasting. Christ was in the beginning. Christ was with God. Christ was God. Christ was light. The second great fact that we see there in the chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, Christ Emmanuel. Christ Emmanuel. In verse 14 of John chapter 1, we read, And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It seems too wonderful to be true that God was manifest in the flesh, that he dwelt among us. Think of God the Son entering the home and bringing joy, walking by the pool and making the infirm whole. He was the only begotten of the Father. He was full of grace and truth. The third great fact we see there in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, is Christ excluded. Christ excluded. In verses 10 and 11 of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we read this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. There is stated here a twofold rejection. First, the world rejected him. Then his own, the Jew, rejected him. He made the world and the people that dwell therein, and then the world knew him not. The children of Israel, whom he called out from the nations, received him not. A people that he found in a waste in desert land, and cared so tenderly for, yet his own received him not. Now we come to the all-important question. Why do sinners reject Christ? With all that Christ is and has done, why will men, women, boys, and girls reject him as the answer to their life? The only answer that can be found is found in the text that we have before us, which says, And men love darkness rather than light. Man is lost and will remain lost simply because he loves darkness. There is a love that rejects Jesus Christ. There are four things stated here that we need to know. These four things should awake every lost soul to the real need of Christ. The first one is the rejection the rejection. In verse 19 of John chapter 3, we read, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Even the unbeliever can argue that the light has not come into the world. Jesus is the light. And without the Bible, historical records bear the fact that he came. The calendar that you carry in your pocket will testify to his coming. Every time we write a check and put a date on it, we verify his birth. Every time you punch a time card, you're saying that Jesus was born. This is the condemnation. You are condemned by the calendar in your pocket. You are condemned every time you write a check. You are condemned every time you punch the clock. You are condemned every time someone asks you the date. Can you believe that a love for darkness would cause men to reject the light, the Lord Jesus Christ? How awful, but true. The second fact we want to see is the reason. The reason. Verse 19, John chapter 3, because their deeds were evil. Loving darkness causes men to reject the Lord. But the reason for this love is their deeds, or their life is one of evil. Man doesn't want to quit his sin. For that reason, he doesn't want to be saved. A Christian businessman told how he resented soul winners that came to his house to witness to him. As soon as the Christians left his home, he headed for the airport, where he was to meet his two partners in business for flying lessons. He said one of his partners went up first, and suddenly he plunged to the earth and died instantly. He said his first thoughts were what the two men had told him about salvation just a little while before. He said he asked the Lord just to let him live until he could be saved. He said all his love for the things of the world seemed to move out, and all he wanted was just to be saved. The world loves a religion whereby they can just be a part of the church and still hang on the world. They don't want anything that will uncover or expose their deeds of evil or bring light that which is wrong. You talk to people today about being born again, being transformed by the grace of God, and they resent it. They are those who love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We still have some things I want to see in this lesson entitled A Love That Rejects Jesus, and we're going to continue and finish our lesson up next week. But I want to tell folks out there, if they're interested in any of the lessons that they hear over the pastor's study, they can write and ask for, and you can obtain it on CD. I'll send it right out to you. Also, we have available to our listeners a catalog free of charge that lists all the studies that have been aired over the pastor's study. And just you can write and ask for that catalog, and I'll send it right out to you. This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.